The answer to homelessness is a home. The answer to hopelessness is hope. Providing both, that's exactly what PCHO does here in Rochester. Person-centered housing options, founded now 10 years ago by Nicholas Coulter, the man I'm speaking to today, and his co-founder. Nick is the co-founder and chief of development over at PCHO. Nick, you had a vision 10 years ago to change the fortunes of many here in Rochester, and you're doing great work. Tell us a little bit about what you do at PCHO.
Thanks, John. PCHO is really simple. We go out, we do outreach, we find vulnerable folks on the streets, folks that are in tents or under bridges or struggling with housing access, and we provide them with support services. We engage them with healthcare. We begin to look with them for income and jobs, and we walk with them into housing. We use the housing first model, so each individual can move right into their home. We rent those homes with reputable landlords that we trust and work closely with. And then we provide what we call care management services, helping folks to sustain that apartment and take care of it and make their way to being productive members of society. This three-prong approach helps folks stabilize and have better lives and make their way into opportunities that they otherwise wouldn't be able to seek.
And homelessness is rampant in our area. And what many of us don't realize, maybe we live in the suburbs or we just aren't downtown that often or in those areas where there's a lot of homelessness. But we drive by and maybe we see one person on a street corner, and that's what we think of the whole homeless population as. Do you have some statistics offhand, or do you just have an idea to give our audience a sense of how much of a problem homelessness still is in our area?
Homelessness is very well hidden in Rochester. You might see one or two people along the off ramps. You might see a couple folks hanging out in the suburbs. You might see some folks living in their cars in the local parks. But when you start to add it all up, and you really start to look deeper and scratch the surface, we're talking about a much larger problem than you can imagine. On an annual basis, we receive about 1,200 to 1,400 calls and requests for service. This could be from a case manager, it could be from a family member, it could be from the person themselves, but we're seeing about 1,300, 1,400 requests on an annual basis. Of those requests, we go out and we find the person. We try to engage them. Well, we end up, because we have a very small outreach team, serving about 400 to 500 persons in outreach a year. That's families, that's children, that's individuals. I can tell you on any given night that you could expect to find, if we really looked in abandoned buildings and under bridges and in parks and really did this exhaustive search, that we would find close to 250 to 300 people sleeping in our county on the street without a place to live. Now, that count is really hard to do, and it takes a lot of effort. But I can almost guarantee that if we had hundreds and hundreds of volunteers to go and find people, during the summer months, we would find quite a few.
It's maybe an issue of affordable housing or lack of resources. What causes so much homelessness?
I think one of the major issues that we're seeing, and you can certainly reference some of our news articles and journals, the rising rent costs are causing a major avalanche of family homelessness, where two or three bedroom units are starting to rise to a level where a normal family on a lower income is just not going to be able to sustain the cost of these rents. So you've got this avalanche of families. Meanwhile, individuals that are low income are not getting enough money to sustain a one-bedroom apartment. Sure, substance use and mental health issues compound those factors, but folks with employment just aren't meeting the cost requirements for living in apartments.
Yeah, and so now we do have this rampant issue, but there's so many organizations helping out, including yours. We talked with the House of Mercy last week, and they're doing some great work to help house some of the homeless. You mentioned the more comprehensive things that you do. How are you able to do everything that you do, really walking people through the identification of someone who is homeless who needs this support, and then all the way through the whole process of getting them support?
We have a really robust team that has a lot of skill, but we wouldn't be able to employ those folks and train them and develop those relationships with the people on the streets if we didn't have funding from our local, state, and federal government. It is those grants, donations, the things that make up this great work. For instance, many churches in the local area will donate funding sometimes to support our hygiene kits that we bring out to people on the street. Our local city and county government funds our outreach team. Our state government funds part of our outreach team. It's the use of taxpayer dollars to fund these efforts that is so important for us to keep homelessness at a level that is either manageable or end homelessness by providing housing.
That's the ultimate goal, right? Is you don't want PCHO to even have to exist, right? But thankfully, it does for those individuals who are in need. Now, summer months, I know, can be months where we start to neglect homelessness because during the winter, we put together clothing drives and food drives, and we're really concerned about them being out in the cold. But now the summer months come around, we're like, you know what? Whatever. So, how do we, as a society and in this area, remember homelessness and continue up the efforts just as aggressively as we do in the winter?
Yeah, I think PCHO usually will start a spring and summer appeal to bring in donations so that we can start to purchase items that are necessary for the summer months. Oftentimes, we forget, like you said, about the harms of heat exhaustion, the harms of people experiencing living. When you're living in a tent, there are factors like bugs and hydration. And when you start to really think about what would it feel like to live in a tent or under a bridge in the summer, there's a lot of issues that pop up that are very different than the winter. So we're bringing out lotion and sunscreen and water and sunglasses and hats and things that can protect people from sunburn, heat exhaustion, dehydration, etc. So those are really bug spray. All that stuff is really costly sometimes. And let's not forget that the women that we find on the street need feminine hygiene products, and those are very expensive. So when you really start to think about what it would be like to survive on these streets, there's a lot of supplies that are needed for the people we serve.
Wow. And I would
Yeah.
also say that oftentimes we as a culture don't help out the homeless. We think of them as maybe the annoying, nagging people on the corner, and we just try to keep our eyes forward and not pay them any attention. What kind of emotional toll might that take on these people who are in such need and don't often get the support in
Oh,
life?
that's such a great question because I think one of the things that can give people hope is treating them with dignity, looking them in the eye, telling them if you pull up to the off ramp and you see them, it's not wrong to give money. A lot of people will ask, should I give money? It's your choice. But maybe keep a couple pairs of socks in your back seat. Keep some water bottles in your back seat. You don't have to feel like you have to give a monetary donation, but looking the person in the eyes, handing them out something that can really help them survive through the day, and smiling at them, saying hello to people, really gives people hope that they're not alone. You'd be surprised the anger that people would have when they got an apartment and they finally felt like people cared about them, they didn't realize the amount of anger they held when people ignored them on the street and walked by them and didn't talk to them. Now their neighbors are saying hello to them. And now they're an entirely different person. They have to shed that anger and they have to shed that pain and they have to shed that feeling of loss. And it takes time to adjust once they move into an apartment. It's a real process for people, and but your smile, your eye contact, a nice gift when you see them may keep them alive for another day.
Wow, and that's part of what you do to provide hope to this hopeless situations. What are some of the other things? You provide homes to the homeless, but you also say that it's about that hopelessness that they feel. So what are some of the other ways that you're providing hope?
Yeah, recently we were awarded some funding from United Way and Wilson Foundation, and we're really starting to step up our effort to get folks and families access to more opportunities. We have funding to pay for education and books and devices to help folks get back on their feet. If they want to go back to school, we can help pay for some of that. If they need car repairs so they can get to work, we can help pay for that. If they want to send their kids to summer camp and they want to get their kids involved with STEM programs, if they need furniture, if they need support with appliances, if they need housing stability, we're really looking at the whole person and wrapping around services so that they can begin to get back to work and feel once they've left that terrible homeless situation that they can transition into a home and really make the steps necessary to get back on their feet. Without that funding, we would be housing people, and that's great, but we need to transition into the next level. What does it feel like to be part of society and to really get back to work?
So you've been doing this for 10 years as this organization founded back by you, Nick, and your co-founder back in 2015. So what has transpired over the past 10 years? How have you grown to continue to fit this need? And then let's talk about the next 10 years, what we can expect and where PCHO is going from here.
Yeah, we started off with just the two of us. We now have over 30 employees. We have assisted over 1,200 individuals and households a year. It's a remarkable effort. It requires a great amount of organization and support from the community. And we've been able to, over those years, add about 1,900 units of apartments annually. Looking at that, we really have put money, federal funding and state funding back into the community to support apartments and landlords, et cetera. It's not just about saving people. That's really important, but it's also about increasing jobs, increasing funding opportunities for our whole community. And PCHO does that really. The next 10 years, I am not sure with the state of how things are right now. But I can say that we're really focused on increasing housing, increasing more affordable housing units, working with local landlords to do that, grow those portfolios, and increase the opportunities that our families have that are experiencing homelessness. We have our 10th anniversary coming up, and our 10th anniversary gala is June 26 from 5 to 8. And we'll be hosting that at the Artisan Works on Blossom Road.
I was going to say, there's got to be something you do here to celebrate making it 10 years, a great milestone. So let's talk a little bit more about the gala. You said June 26th. Is that something that's open to the public, something that we can contribute and attend?
Yeah, we are selling tickets right now. It is open to the public. We're selling tickets, sponsorships, and tables. We have our host and MC, Berkeley Breen, will be there. Karen Iglesias from Primetime 585 will be doing our paddle call. We have Senator Cooney speaking, really celebrating this 10 years. All of those folks have supported us over the years. Our funders will be there. Hopefully, our local government will be there. We're really going to make this a big bash. And we have Daniel King Quartet playing, sharing their music. And it's going to be a real great time. So we'd love for everybody to come. We are seeking sponsorships right now, and ticket sales will go on till middle of June.
And that's PCHO.org for more information, right? To PCHO.org. The person-centered housing options founded, co-founded by Nicholas Coulter. How else can we contribute to the effort even beyond that 10th anniversary gala and help with homeless outreach here in the area?
One of the great things that we do is if you want us to come out and speak to a group, church group, youth group, your coworkers, whatever you will come out and speak, talk about this issue, work with you to put together hygiene kits and support packages. There's all different kinds of ways that you can give back and support PCHO. We also take donations on our website, and we have an Amazon wish list. If you want to support our folks moving into homes, we have housing kits that you can purchase and send right to our office, and we'll bring them out to people's homes. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved, but what's most important is that you really treat the folks that are experiencing homelessness with dignity and love. And because the only difference between those folks is that they don't have a home. They're just like you and I, and we really want to treat them with love and
Yes,
kindness.
it's homes for the homeless and hope for the hopeless as well. Nicholas Coulter is the chief of development over at the Person-Centered Housing Options, PCHO.org here in Rochester. Nick, thank you so much for your time this morning. And more importantly,
Pleasure.
thank you for what you do for everyone in our community.
Thank you so much, John. Take care.